Hey, this is Preston.
Hi, this is Yun.
And this is episode 2 of Asian Affairs.
Today we wanted to discuss an Asian American GOP official who recently shared her racial experiences from within the GOP. Her name is Jennifer Carnahan.
She posted this Facebook post on her wall a few days ago talking about her experiences. And one of the interesting parts was, I'm quoting here, "Some party leaders, executive committee members around the state have made racist comments about me and to me, calling me dragon lady, a chink, a stupid Asian not even born in America, and other awful racial slurs. Not sure how these people still maintain their roles."
Right. And what really stuck out to me from her post and comments that she made after is that she was really framing and centering her racial experiences around her white father.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, who's clearly a white man that can never experience racism. So that was very interesting to me that she was able to connect her racial experiences to herself or really tie it into the people who are perpetrating the racism, but more that she released that information to uplift and praise her father.
Yeah, she started off the post saying, "My dad always gives me the best advice." Why do you think she did that?
I think that she did that because she doesn't seem that she sees herself as Asian as an identity, but more because she was perhaps adopted, that she sees herself as white. So I think that also her father or her parents didn't really equip her with the right tools in navigating how to deal with racism. So his advice of just rising above it, as a white man, perhaps he can do that because he has the power in America to still rise on top. But as a minority, she clearly does not have that power to do so.
Yeah, and what's really interesting here is that the cognitive dissonance that a lot of Asians already face, where they have to battle or they have to find that compromise between their ethnic identity as Asians, but also growing up in a white dominant society. I feel like for adoptees, it's further increased, it's further exacerbated in the fact that you're not growing up with Asian culture, you're growing up with white culture. And you grow up thinking you're white until people tell you you're not and call you dragon lady and chink. So I thought that was really interesting, especially in this spot where you have this adoptee that was adopted by people in Minnesota in the Midwest. I thought it was interesting how she has risen to the leadership position in the GOP, which is notoriously... Well, you know the GOP.
I think that definitely her proximity to whiteness, literally being adopted by whiteness, really has something to do with shaping the way that she views herself. And so there was definitely...
Yeah, she probably doesn't even think she's Asian or Korean. She probably thinks that she's assimilated and she's in with the whites.
That really has to do with her parents again, who didn't equip her. Even reading through her comments about her father, or at least, you know, the assumption is that she might have grown around a lot of microaggressions, even at home, which is supposed to be a safe space for adoptees. That might not always be the case. I remember reading articles and posts of adoptees recounting their experiences growing up. Grew around some really, really white families who definitely still love them, but that didn't change the fact that they were racist. I remember Johnny J. Reed was commenting that her parents used to make her pull slanty eyes when her aunt would come to visit them, and that she would run and hide because she was obviously very uncomfortable with doing that. And that was just as a child. So I think that with adoptees, it is very difficult for them because they have some identity issues growing up with white parents and white role models, in addition to navigating the racial hierarchy and dynamics in a white-dominated society as a person of color.
There's probably this moment where they realize that they don't have the same privilege as their white parents or even their white siblings, if they have any like that.
Definitely, there's probably a disconnect there. And I wonder how many adoptees actually work past that disconnect and how many just continue to hit the same problems over and over again without really realizing what it is that they're working up against. And I think that also ties into assimilation. It's really tried to assimilate and probably for the most part was at least superficially successful as the chairwoman of the GOP.
She might not even think it's assimilation, actually. It might not actually be assimilation to her because in a way, she's like a white person in an Asian body, right? So if you grow up thinking that you're white, is it really assimilation? Versus, say, an Asian person that grew up with Asian parents, there is that assimilation in play because most likely your parents are not from America. What do you think about that?
I think so, assimilation. I think that it's just one is more just and one is ingrained in how they were brought up. Her parents might have raised her thinking she would be afforded the same, you know, even if she wasn't. Their advice was just to rise above it, something that as POCs, as minorities, we don't have that privilege to just rise above things. We have to deal with it because when we rise above things, it gives permission to other people to carry on the same behavior. So
yeah,
I don't
like
know
being
that
the exception.
Right, being the exception or just an accepted form of behavior, which it should never be. And in terms of going back to your point of whether or not it is assimilation, I still think it is. You know, clearly she's still an oppressed minority in this country, whether or not she grew up in and her desire to assimilate is probably very strong. How she was so shocked even to encounter all this racism in a
Yeah, I don't know how you could find that shocking.
Yeah, I mean, she's in a white-dominated sphere, especially a white man-dominated sphere, one that is notoriously racist. So I think it really goes in that assimilation mindset.
At one point, she even defends Trump, saying, I wouldn't work on his BF if she thought he was racist because she's had to deal with racism her entire life. It's like there's a clear cognitive there.
I mean, that part kind of made me speechless a little bit, but at the same time, not surprised considering where she's at, like what she's doing, you know, working for him. It really speaks to her mindset. And to me, she's clearly the token, the token of GOP, the GOP in Minnesota. And so I think that it's really easy for them to trot her out and say, here, this is some person that, POC that that shows that we're inclusive.
Oh, yeah.
Although they're clearly not. They just want more votes.
Yeah, calling her dragon lady and chink and all that is like a way for them to tell her to, hey, know your place.
So even though she's at such a high position as a chairwoman, at the same time, I feel like that's a pseudo power. You know, it's not real. At the same, they're still controlling her. She's still being denigrated to know her place, that she's not truly one of them.
And I think like a greater point for assimilation just in terms of Asians that grew up in with Asian parents, right? It's like we see this Jennifer Carnahan. She's probably as close to white as an Asian person can ever be. She's adopted, grew up in white culture, has extreme proximity to whiteness in terms of her professional career as well as her family. A lot of things are at play for her to, like you were talking about, be assimilated, but she's still being told to stay in her own lane. She's still the perpetual foreigner, even in the space that she basically grew up in. That's really telling, especially for Asians that grew up with Asian parents, because those that are trying to think, hey, if I just work hard enough, if I can just assimilate into America and be accepted. And the fact that this person who has so much proximity to whiteness can't even be accepted, I think is really telling for Asians in general that are maybe first, second, third generation.
This whole perpetual foreigner, you know, it's perpetuated in so many different ways. Clearly, because she was adopted, they yelled insults at her. It's like, oh, you're stupid Asian. You're not even born in America, right? And I think that, you know, that's a more blatant perpetual foreigner. There's so many different microaggressions we go through as Asians, of just being asked, where are you from? No, where are you really from? Those type of questions, it's come to the point where when someone asks me, where are you from? I have to ask them, what do you mean? You know, like, what are
I've
you
done
asking?
That before.
Are you? I do that all the time. And it, do you want to know where I grew up? Personally, I wasn't born in the country because I'm 1.5. But at the same time, you know, what are you asking me? Are you asking me? You know, there's a multitude of layers to that. Whereas if for example, a white person was asking, where are you from? But, oh, I was from this one city in this one state. And so I think that this whole professional syndrome, it really tells us of where America continues to see us today.
There was in the HuffPost article, there was this other Asian American lawmaker, Beth Fukumoto, who actually switched from the GOP to the Democrats. And she cited one example where she got a letter from a Trump supporter saying, "Dear bitch, your poor grandparents got put into a camp in the USA. Boo hoo hoo. You Japs murdered thousands of servicemen at Pearl Harbor. Did you forget that detail?" So it's like this person, this other person, another example of someone that is basically buying into the white system, right? Again, people like to bring up, or people like to see them as a perpetual foreigner, no matter how hard they try.
Yeah, and even the way that he recounted the facts of what happened and how American forces remember Japanese in turn is really telling of how they'll come up with any excuse just to paint us as perpetual foreigners. The reason why the Japanese were interned wasn't so much to do with Pearl Harbor, but more to do with the fact that white farmers wanted Japanese farmers' land. So, you know, they can paint us as all these spies and adversaries and paint us in that foreign sense, but at the same time, there is a more insidious, clearly, it's not always to do with what they think. They have a different motivation.
What I'm thinking about is we see these really blatant examples of people that have very, or Asians that have very close proximity of whiteness, still not being able to assimilate into their respective white communities, right? If it's already difficult for an adoptee, it is even more difficult for someone with immigrant parents. So what I'm wondering is how can we use this as a lesson for our own lives, and how we how what our perspective should be.
Definitely don't take her father's advice of rising above things. I do think that we have to choose our battles, but at the same time, we need to learn how to navigate, how to deal and react to racism. A lot of times I've personally seen people hobbling it or even playing into it. For example, if someone makes a racist joke, they laugh along uncomfortably, but it still signals to the perpetrator that it's okay. Which is definitely not. Yes, exactly. It's another permission slip. So I think that we need to be very cognizant of how we react to racism. We're not always going to be perfect, and sometimes it renders people speechless. We have to figure out, I guess, eventually as a community, how to deal with racist encounters, blatant ones, and microaggressions. So I think that ultimately this is a message that really shows us our place in America, how people see us. If it wasn't already clear to people, this is a great indicator.
Yeah, so, this is like as blatant as it can get.
Definitely. And so I think that the answer is not to assimilate. We need to sculpt our own identities and our own places so that we can really come to the table with our own sets of demands and negotiate that. Assimilation is not the key, because assimilating into white-dominated society is to play by their rules, to play into the space that they allow for us.
And you always hit the bamboo ceiling.
Yes, definitely. You always hit the bamboo ceiling. That's why you have tokens like Jennifer Carnahan, and it doesn't work. It's proven not to work for really any minority out there. And we're supposed to be the model minority. I think that it really sends a broader message of understanding where we are, and going forward, we have to learn how to navigate that. What do you think, Carson?
Oh, no, I definitely agree when it comes to assimilation. It's like they don't want you here. They don't want you to be part of the group. So there's absolutely no point in trying to join the group and try to assimilate. And I definitely agree with the whole creating our own culture, creating our own spaces. It's going to be really important for not only our generation, but generations after us. Where they can have these spaces where they're not constantly being hit with racism, constantly being hit with microaggressions. And then also in terms of being able to come together in terms of greater unions and politics, right? Being able to congregate together will definitely bring about more systemic change rather than simply being in different places across the country. So I definitely think it's really important for us to create our own communities moving forward.
Definitely. And so that concludes today's episode of Asian Affairs.
You can follow us on Twitter. My handle is PrestonWong888.
And mine is XXYUNZ.
And Asian Affairs releases episodes every Tuesday and Thursday.
And for more pro-Asian content, be sure to check out Not Your Asian Sidekick and Journey to the West on YouTube, as well as our website, ProAsian888, with the link in our profile.
This has been Asian Affairs with your hosts, Preston
and Yun.
And see you next time on Asian Affairs.